49. Nathan. Nathan leaned back in the dropship's command chair, his eyes shifting to the displays toward the left side of the pilot station. He could see the first hint of Seattle in the distance, a disc at the top of a thin spire visible just past the lower foothills of the mountains they were descending. Even though it took more time, Nathan had insisted on bringing the Parabellum into the high atmosphere before dropping toward the city, bringing the dropship down out of range of earthbound sensors. They intended to make a more standard assault approach like they had been taught in the simulators on Proxima. That meant bringing the craft to within 50 kilometers of Seattle before swooping downward at a hard angle that would admittedly put a lot of strain on the human body. The Centurions on board could handle it. So could the Earthers and, of course, Max. They were all trained fighters, all warriors. Humans, an Axon intellect, and human clones from different planets and different circumstances, they were gathered together for the same purpose. Nathan didn't give a thought to how Max would deploy. He was pretty sure the Axon intellect could jump from altitude without anything to slow his descent and still survive the impact. What Axon tech he had already seen and experienced kept him in a state of wondrous fear of the race. Space-folding portals that allowed them to cross vast distances as though they were walking through a door. Artificial intelligences that could both disguise themselves and cause potentially fatal hallucinations. The quantum dimensional modulator, a seemingly infinite power source that had protected Eden Rise for nearly 100 years, powered the Parabellum now. Even the skin Caleb Card wore, virtually identical to Max's, with its projection system, shields, and energy weapons, was Axon in origin. Nathan couldn't imagine what a true war against the Axon would be like. In a way, he almost feared fighting the Axon more than he did the hunger. He was thankful the Axon seemed satisfied to maintain a secret garrison here, ready and waiting to thwart the hunger in their efforts to control the planet. On the other hand, would things be easier had the Axon seized the planet for their own, the way Tinker had wanted? Would humankind be better off with the Axon as their overlords, rather than in this position of clinging to survival? They had their freedom as it was, but they were sacrificing many lives to maintain it. "General," Isaac said, his tone telling Nathan it wasn't the first time Ike had tried to draw his attention.
"Yes, Sergeant Pine," Nathan replied.
"We're making final approach. You probably want to suit up."
"Is the target still on track?"
Isaac glanced at the sensor grid in front of him.
"Confirmed. Right on schedule."
While something the size of a person was challenging to pick up on sensors at high altitude, something the size of an old Cadillac giving off a distinct signature from an electric motor wasn't. The Parabellum had located the single vehicle headed north from the upper atmosphere, capturing Crake's path and velocity toward the city. A few calculations had put them an hour ahead of the Axon's arrival, which had afforded them time to finalize their plans and get themselves into what they hoped would be the optimal positions, assuming the whole thing wasn't a trap. Nathan unbuckled himself from the chair and hopped to his feet. Ike was right. He only had a minute to get to the hold and into his armor before the Parabellum entered its secondary drop. He needed to be secured below before that happened.
"You know what you have to do?" Nathan double-checked.
He had already gone over Centurion drop sequences with the Marine, explaining and showing him how they were trained to hit targets with tactical squads. It seemed reasonable to say and do, but the truth was that every military action on Proxima was simulated and controlled, run through a virtual reality system called Centbase. Other than Rico, none of the Centurions on the ship had been in real combat before arriving on Earth. Every minute of experience they had accumulated was predicated on a machine learning algorithm guiding fake combatants, or through team-based scenarios run against one another. They had handled themselves well so far, but this would be their truest and toughest challenge. He didn't hold any pretense that they would all make it through this alive.
"I'm good to go, General," Isaac responded.
"All right, Sergeant, you have the bridge," Nathan said, reaching the exit.
"Roger, General. Good hunting."
Nathan headed down to the hold. The rest of the team, Sheriff Duke, Caleb Card, Max, Rico, Bennett, Lucius, Drake, Jesse, and Spot, was already assembled and waiting. All of them except Max and Caleb were in combat armor. Sheriff Duke continued to wear his worn duster over his armor, a silver badge pinned to the duster over his left pec. Bandoliers of large-caliber revolver rounds crisscrossed his armored chest beneath the duster, and he wore a gun belt, a revolver strapped to each thigh. Another belt was strapped around his waist, loaded with small black metal spears, copies of the same weapon Caleb had used to kill the large Jaxcluth. The glasses Natalia had made for him obscured his eyes. A leather thong tied to their temples and wrapped around his head secured them in place. Hayden was determined not to lose them again. It was an interesting look, and Nathan understood why Hayden used it. With buckets on, it was much harder to tell the combatants apart. The sheriff wanted the enemy to know which one he was and what he stood for. Just looking at him, with his cyborg augments, was a sobering sight, even for Nathan. "General on deck," Rico announced. The centurions snapped to attention. So did Caleb. Hayden and Max turned to face him, offering respect without deference. Not that he was a real general, as ranked by any formal military structure. The rank had come with the replacement of his clone brother James when he became the leader of Edenrise. Before that, he was a captain in the Space Force on Proxima, and Rico knew it. It was complicated, but as far as official Space Force records were concerned, he was still the highest-ranking officer in the group.
"At ease," Nathan said, heading over to his armor, separated into multiple pieces and suspended by robotic arms. "Strap in. We've got 60 seconds to ingress."
"Yes, sir,"
the centurion snapped, moving to secure themselves along the bulkhead. Nathan stepped back into the armor, his weight activating the machine. It dropped the alloy shell around him, quickly bolting it together and trapping him inside. "Nate," Hayden said, walking over to him with Max at his side. "Max says he upgraded your armor."
"Upgraded?" Nathan replied.
"A single coating of nanocells," Max said, "and an update to your user interface."
"What does that mean in plain terms?"
"You'll see," Max replied.
"Ha ha ha, ha ha."
Nathan glanced at Hayden, who shrugged.
"You'll see."
The machine dropped his large helmet over his head. It clicked into the body armor before screws sealed it together, and the advanced tactical combat system booted up.
"My source code was encrypted," Nathan said, activating the external speakers. "You shouldn't have been able to change it."
"Negation. I bypassed the encryption," Max said. "It was a moderate challenge. Whoever created the algorithm was fairly intelligent. It also allowed me to gain access to your comms."
Hayden trusted the intellect, but Nathan was barely piggybacking on that trust. He wasn't convinced Max was ultimately on their side. The fact that the Axon had messed with his armor right before the drop wasn't sitting well either. But there was no time to do anything about it.
"General Stacker," Isaac said, "do you copy?"
"I copy," Nathan replied.
"Linking the Parabellum to the general comms."
He squinted his left eye to control the interface, putting the Parabellum's comm link into the group channel so everyone could hear Isaac through their helmets and he could hear them. He was tempted to try to locate Max's changes, but there was no time to explore the interface.
"We're 50 clicks out," Ike said. "First drop in T-minus 40 seconds.
Roger, Parabellum."
The plan was simple. The group would split into two teams. Alpha Squad would drop south of the city and pick a location along the highway to set up an ambush to hit the Axon on its way in. Beta Squad would come down near the spire to the north and work its way south, with the goal of distracting whatever forces Hansen had waiting so Alpha Squad could take Craik by surprise. The challenging part for Alpha was to maintain enough distance from Craik that the Axon couldn't use its neural weapon against them while remaining close enough to take out the alien without damaging the interlink. The challenge for Beta was to put up enough fight to keep the enemy inside the city occupied while that happened. They had discussed approaching the ambush as a single unified force, but that tactic was decidedly risky. Hansen already knew they were coming and would be trying to stop Craik from making it through the portal. Craik had to know it too. While the enemy might not see the dropship make its maneuvers, they couldn't rule out that their opponent was one step ahead, had accurately estimated their time of arrival, and was already lying in wait. If that were the case, they were heading straight into an ugly situation. If that were the case, It was better to engage in an urban assault in the ruins of the city rather than get bunched together in the more open area near the highway. The primary objective was to recapture the Interlink. Destroying Craik and surviving the fight were both secondary, and every one of them understood it. Even Sheriff Duke, who had every reason to prioritize killing the thing that had murdered his family. And then there was Delta Squad, the Wild Cards. Their mission was to complete the primary objective if something happened to Alpha and Beta before they could carry out their orders, even if they had to fight the enemy head-on. Nathan stepped out of the machine, his armored foot echoing off the deck.
Sheriff Duke, you're almost up.
Pause, Hayden said. He looked over at the Centurions secured to the bulkhead. Alpha Squad, Rico, Bennett, and Drake was already closest to the rear ramp.
Looks like we're already in position.
He headed for the first place in line.
Parabellum, any sign of enemy activity? Nathan asked.
Sensors are clear, General, Isaac replied.
That doesn't mean they aren't out there, Caleb said. Reapers don't register on standard sensor sweeps.
They don't show on infrared? Isaac asked.
Not if they're static.
LIDAR?
They won't be out in the open. We're headed straight into the snake pit.
Roger that, Colonel, Isaac said.
Knuckle up and stay alert, Caleb said, addressing the entire team. Reapers are tough, but they can be killed. Any of the Relia can be killed.
So can Axon, Max added.
You all know what to do. Remember why you're doing it. This isn't about your home planet. This is about humanity. This is about fighting back against slavery, oppression, and possible extinction. If we're going to have a chance to come out on top of this, we need that Interlink.
Hoorah!
The Centurion shouted.
Beta Squad, line up!
Nathan snapped, heading for the first position behind Alpha. He paused at Caleb's side, eyes sliding between Caleb and Max.
We'll hold them off as best we can. If we can't come through, I won't let you down, General,
Caleb replied, affirming his resolve with a barely noticeable dip of his chin.
We'll succeed, Max said. Failure isn't one of my directives. Ha 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 ha.
T-minus 10 seconds to deceleration, Isaac announced. Delta Squad remains strapped in. The rest of you hang on. Sheriff, lower the ramp. Hayden hit the control for the rear door and then braced his feet slightly apart, twisting his hand through one of the canvas loops hanging from the overhead. Everyone standing behind him followed suit. The craft shuddered as its thrusters reversed, vectoring jets adding to the sudden and violent deceleration. G-forces pulled at the occupants of the hold, powerful enough that Nathan's head immediately started to ache from the pressure. Isaac had come in faster than Nathan expected, probably trying to get them in before they could be spotted. The ship continued shaking, breaking fast in midair. The pressure shifted as it began to drop, the overhead hand grips the only thing keeping everyone rooted in place.
Ike, Nathan said. A little softer on the touch next time.
Noted, General. Too hot. Stand by.
The Parabellum screamed downward, the air beginning to rush into the hold and swirl around them, the quick change in pressure adding another challenge. Nathan noticed Spot's head loll to the side. Checking the ATCS, he saw she was indeed out cold.
Damn it.
The dropship slowed again, the freefall turning into a drift. It took 5 seconds to go from 3 kilometers up and then another 10 to descend the last half click. By the time the landing skids touched the ground, Hayden and the rest of the Alpha Squad were free of their straps and running down the ramp into the open.